How could you possibly keep your heart open to all that suffering? Because wouldn't your heart break? Wouldn't the emotional part of your heart break? Because you can only conceive of being that open to that suffering in your human form with your attachments. And if you let the fact that there was a baby starving into your consciousness, what are you going to do? Say, what do you say? Let's go see my left foot tonight. Because the emotional heart would glom onto that, and the suffering would be so intense, and you'd have to do something about it to stop it. And this is one of the fiercest paradoxes that the full incarnate of a human being seems to have to learn. And put baldly is, it's perfect and it stinks. And they're both true. And now what are you going to do? Because there is a plane of reality in which you pull back as if you were a physicist or a whatever, geneticist or anything, astronomer with a Hubble telescope. You pull back until you see how it is. That's what we're going to see with the Hubble, and we'll see, boy, are we uninteresting. We certainly are making a lot of to-do about nothing. We aren't even passing show. We're those bugs, like those bugs that are born in the morning and die in the evening, and around noon they say, boy, that's life. Yeah. Yeah. You get to this plane of reality, you just keep pulling back and pulling back. You can do it through just following your breath, like in Vipassana or something like that. You pull back and you pull back until you just see it's all things are related to each other lawfully. I don't mean law like human law. I mean like the Tao, the way of things. You feel the harmony, the balance, the forces, the actions and the reactions, the codependent arising. You just feel the wisdom of form. You feel a deeper wisdom, and you stand in awe and reverence, and that's what people like Einstein always knew. They realized how close they were to the feeling the plan of God, or what that, whatever that unfolding wisdom is of form. And when you see that, you are awestruck and you say, it's all perfect. But then you come back into your human emotional heart, and everywhere you look, there's pain and suffering in yourself, in your family, in your friends, in the culture, everywhere. With the earth, you say, perfect. It's horrible. It stinks. What is this suffering? Who thought this one up? I mean, if I were God, I'll tell you. I wouldn't have screwed up like this. Remember people coming to Ramana Maharshi, who was a great Indian saint, and they'd say, Ramana Maharshi, is the earth going to survive? He said, you don't even know who you are yet. What are you even, what are you worried about that for? Like, look who's asking the question. Remember that story about the rabbi comes into the shul and he goes up and he stands before the ark and he kneels down and he's beating his chest saying, I'm nothing, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. And the cantor comes in and sees the rabbi doing this. He figures it's really something to do. So he goes up and he kneels down next to the rabbi. He's going, I'm nothing, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. So the janitor comes in and sees the rabbi and the cantor. And he goes up and he kneels down next to the cantor. And he says, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. And the rabbi nudges the cantor and says, look who thinks he's nothing. It's one of my father's stories. The predicament is that the myths of individuality don't give the return that they promised. They don't make people content. Donald Trump is not content. And neither is George Bush. I mean, he looks like he's content, but he isn't. And you know he isn't. Because he can't give full vent to his humanness. If you push anything away, you're off balance and you're not content. Content is being with what is. Ah, yeah. The horrible beauty of it all. The incredible poignancy of the human predicament, of the earth predicament.